It's Arthur Godfrey time. Yes, it's Arthur Godfrey time with all the little Godfreys. Jeanette Davis, Frank Saunders, I think those fellas are called the Mariners, and Archie Blair in the orchestra. And I think this fellow's called Arthur Godfrey.
And I thank you, my boy, and I think you are known to your less intimate friends as Joe King. And greetings, everybody. It is that time in your daily lives when the lull in the radio programs known as Arthur Godfrey time is among you. Here we are at the end of another week of broadcasting. And how are you getting along with your husband these days, madam? Things are bad in the domestic field all around. I see in the papers where a famous couple in New York has been throwing cups and saucers at each other. And in other parts of the country, less famous couples are pitching the crockery, too. Now, this business of throwing dishes is a bad thing. In families where there isn't so much money, it's not too bad because they usually have to kiss and make up before they break all the dishes in the house. But when the wealthy folks start chucking that china around, it can be very bad because they can break all the dishes they want to and always go out and buy more. Now, when such a condition exists, one or the other is bound sooner or later to get the range, you see. And when those near misses turn into direct hits, it gets a little rough around the joint. Now, I see where there's a guy in the paper here who didn't trust his wife, and he got himself in an awful jam with the police. And worse than that, with the little woman herself. Lieutenant Roy Schick, my good friend of the Washington Police Department, saw a length of garden hose sticking out of the trunk rack in an automobile the other day, and he decided to investigate. He flipped open the compartment, and there inside, all hunched up, was a 6-foot man, red-faced and perspiring profusely, using the hose to breathe with. And just then a woman came scooting up to the car and screamed at the cop, "That man is my husband, and what the heck is he doing in that trunk rack?" The man blushed and explained to the cop and the little lady, "Gee, baby, I knew you were going to drive into town, so I decided to come along and check up on you." Now, there's a guy that ought to eat off of paper plates for a while. Of all the silly things. There's a great answer to that problem, my worried friend. Don't be such a jerk. Always figure this way, see? Until you see something with your own eyes, don't let it bother you. Always remember that it isn't what you do, it's what you get away with. Now, we have the Mariners here this morning, a very fine quartet who have an arrangement of a farmer's tune that I think very appropriate for the day. It's lovely here, boys. Sing out about the animals on the farm.
We love to sing the old songs. They will not ever die.
Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a cow,
E-I-E-I-O.
With a moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, here a moo, there a moo, everywhere moo-moo.
Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O. Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a duck,
E-I-E-I-O.
With a quack-quack here and a quack-quack there, here a quack-quack, 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 quack-quack.
A moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, here a moo, there a moo, everywhere moo-moo.
Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
Now old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a dog,
E-I-E-I-O. With a whoop-whoop here and a whoop-whoop there, here a whoop there, whoop there, where a whoop-whoop, quack-quack here and a quack-quack there, here a quack-quack, here a quack-quack, moo-moo here and a moo-moo there, here a moo there, moo everywhere moo-moo. Old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
old MacDonald had a farm,
E-I-E-I-O.
And on this farm he had a sensationally gorgeous wife.
E-I-E-I-O.
Darling, give me a fur coat here, a diamond ring there. It was here, gimme, there, gimme, everywhere, gimme, gimme.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O.
And the cows went moo, moo.
And the ducks went quack, quack.
And we all had a good time on old MacDonald's farm.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. Here is a letter from an indignant listener. It says, Dear Godfrey, you're always wasting good radio time giving advice to the ladies. The ladies are lovely and all that, but how about a word of advice to the poor, downtrodden male once in a while? All right, my friend. I got some advice for you. And it comes all the way from South America. Senora Juan Borges complained to the police department in Barranquilla, Colombia, that her husband never gave her any money. So, the cops advised her to try rifling his pockets while he was asleep. And she said, oh, no, 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 I can't do that. No, no. He keeps a snake in his pocket. You ask for advice? I dare you to follow it, pal. And as Jeanette Davis sings, and then it's heaven.
A dream is just a dream until I dream of you, and then it's heaven. A kiss is just a kiss until I'm kissing you, and then it's heaven. The ordinary thing I always do with you become the most important thing I'll ever do. And words are only words till you say I love you. And then it's heaven. A dream is just a dream until I dream of you. And then it's heaven. A kiss is just a kiss till I'm kissing you. And then it's heaven. The ordinary thing I always do with you become the most important thing I'll ever do. And words are only words till you say I love you. And then it happens.
Very, very pretty, Jeanette. Very, very nice. See, my spies tell me that a very illustrious young man from WCCO Minneapolis is sitting in there in the control room. The very famous newscaster, Cedric Adams. Cedric, how about coming out here into the studio, or out there into the studio, and sitting down in front of the mic?
No, Arthur.
Let's you and I sit down and talk. I've never had the pleasure of meeting this gentleman face to face, nor am I going to have it today. But I can sit down and meet with him like you will on the radio. Are you there, Cedric?
Yes, I'm here, Arthur. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and welcome to New York.
Thank you.
I feel very honored that you stopped in to have a look at our show. I wish that you could be down here on top of this mountain this morning in Virginia to enjoy this air and sunshine. It's lovely. Is it still raining in New York?
No, it's a very clear day now, Arthur.
Oh, fine. A little bit of the South moved up there, did it? Well, what you doing in New York, Cedric?
Well, I came down here ostensibly for a little visit with you.
Well, bless your sweetheart, sir. Let us sit down and split or something.
I wish I could.
Tell me, well, how is life out at WCCO?
Well, we're in the Godfrey Playback League there, Arthur. We get you at 2:00 p.m.
I see. You transcribe the show and play it the same day or the day before?
We do it the same day.
Oh, good. That's fine. Then the folks out there will hear us today. Yes, please?
There are one or two little items that I'd like to discuss with you, Arthur.
Shoot, sir.
First of all, back there in Minnesota, we recognize you as probably the greatest user of the pause in radio. Is that deliberate or accidental?
I think perhaps a better word would be it's unconscious. Like all of my broadcasts.
I thought perhaps it was because you were sustaining. Those of us in commercial radio never use the pause.
Especially when doing the commercial, eh? Yes, I know. Most of the clients love to jam all the words they can into 60 seconds and make it so that no one understands any of it. I think it's wonderful.
There's one more little item, Arthur.
Yes, sir?
I have a little column in the newspaper back there, and we struck up a controversy the other day. Damon Runyon ran a column the other day in which he said that columnists, I suppose you can be classed as a columnist of the air, should never discuss for their readers or their listeners such things as their wives, their kids, or their ailments. Are you on his side or mine?
I take it that you indulge in this sort of thing, too.
I do.
Well, I know for my... I don't know about you, Cedric, but for my part, if I did not discuss my wife, my children, and my ailments, I don't know what in the world it'd be for me to talk about.
Well, it's nice...
What's that, sir?
It's nice to have you on our side, then.
Well, you see... Damon Runyon, God bless him, I consider him the dean and the greatest of all the columnists today, having never read yours, Cedric. He, of course, has a great deal of... spends a great deal of time in chasing around New York with Walter Winchell and some others of his buddies and cronies to see life in the raw, and therefore has a great many things to write about that I just never get around to see. How in the world can you see anything of life if you have to get up at 5:00 in the morning to start broadcasting at 6:00 is what I want to know. What little life I see when I'm in New York consists of getting up at 6:00 when I'm supposed to be on the air and at the Lexington Hotel, grabbing a cab, rushing over to 52nd and Madison, disappearing into the bowels of that building where you're sitting right now, and coming out at 7:00 that night. How in the world can I see any of the life? Does it keep you very busy out there in Minneapolis, Cedric?
Yes, it does. I have two newscasts a day.
Uh-huh.
There's one more little thing, Arthur. When we called you from New York this morning down there on your farm, after we got your farm, it took us 20 minutes to get you on the phone. Do you mind telling us where you were during those 20 minutes?
What time was it that you called?
About 10.
Look, let's have Archie Blyer play a piece of music while I consider that.
Thank you.
That was very nice cushioning, Archie Blyer. Thank you very much. This is Arthur Godfrey down in Virginia, and the orchestra and Jeanette Davis and all the folks are in the studio in New York with Cedric Adams. You're still there, are you, Cedric? Is he still there or did he leave?
I thought you'd gone back to where you were this morning.
Well, Archie was playing that number, Cedric. I looked it up in the log. I keep a very accurate log. And it seems that at that time I was milking a cow. We had one here who was bawling very loudly this morning to have her crankcase drained, and I took care of her at that time, you see. Cedric, tell me a little bit more about life in Minneapolis. Is it really as cold out there in the winter as I hear tell?
We had 36 below for 28 consecutive days, Arthur. I say that advisedly. The Chamber of Commerce there will probably get me when I get back.
What time of year does that happen?
Usually in from January through March.
Come
up sometime.
That's really cold. Tell me, Cedric, is it true that when it is that cold up there in that part of the country that you don't realize it's that cold, or is that a lot of baloney?
No, we realize it fully. Things snap off when you go outside. That's the way you are.
Oh, fine. What sort of clothing does one wear in such weather?
Parka, strictly.
Several suits of long underwear and things, eh?
Right.
In the summertime, though, it gets just as nice as it does here, doesn't it?
Oh, we have delightful summers, yes. We listen to your program out on Lake Minnetonka every day, every afternoon.
Lake
I have a
Minnetonka.
Boat out there. We're in the powerboat class, however.
Ah.
You dislike us, don't you?
We of the sailing fraternity have another term for that.
I know what it is.
Maybe we'd better not go into that here. But I think that's wonderful. Lake Minnetonka, Shades of Henry Longfellow. That must be a lovely place. It's all fresh water, of course.
Yes.
Any fishing?
A lot. Lots of fishing.
What kind of fish do you take in that lake?
We get crappies, sunfish, northern pike, and bullheads.
Bullheads. Bullheads. What kind of a fish is a bullhead? Bullhead, huh? That wouldn't be a species of catfish, would it?
I think it is of that family, yes. They have skin and long things that come out on the side.
Long things. Yeah. you call them crappies? Crappies?
It's spelled with an A, however.
Yes, yes. I was wondering about that. We have the same fish. It is amazing how radio improves one's diction. Oh, my. Cedric, tell me the name of the newspaper for which you write this column.
I'm with the Minneapolis Star and the Minneapolis Sunday Tribune. Cole's publications, they are.
I see.
Owners of Look Magazine.
Oh, is that so? Look Magazine, eh? And you do your programs at what time of the day?
We have one at 12:30 at noon and another at 10 at night. Both of them newscasts.
Say, that keeps you pretty busy. You've got to work, get up very early in the morning to get ready for that 10 o'clock show, don't you?
Yes, I do. No, 10 o'clock at night, Arthur.
Oh, 12:30 at noon.
12:30 at noon.
Oh, I see. Oh, well, that's pretty good. I'd like a kind of a thing like that. This business of getting up at 5 o'clock and starting in on the air at 6, isn't it ridiculous? Who in the world listens to you? I know one thing, the bosses don't. I found that out one day. Did you ever hear how I found that out, Cedric?
I didn't hear you, Arthur.
I did. Did you hear how I found out that the bosses never listened to me in the morning early?
No.
Well, it's very simple. I said one morning about 6:30, I said, "You want to bet me that the bosses aren't listening? I'll prove it to you. Look." I said, "Hey, boss." Now, I said, if the boss is listening, I won't be here tomorrow. But I've been there ever since. See, they don't listen. Cedric, you don't know how nice it is to have you here, sir. I hope you're going to stay over in New York a few days. I'll be back Tuesday.
Thank you. I'll be seeing you Tuesday, then.
That's fine. Thanks ever so much, Cedric Adams. And now suppose we trot out our handsome young Irish tenor, Frank Saunders, to sing Molly Malone.
In Dublin's fair city, where the girls are so pretty, it was there that I first met sweet Molly Malone. As she wheeled a wheelbarrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, oh, alive, alive, oh, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She was a fishmonger, sure that was no wonder, for so was her father and mother before. They each wheeled their barrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. Alive, alive, oh, oh, alive, alive, oh, oh, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh. She died of the fever, and nothing could save her, and that was the end of sweet Molly Malone. But her ghost wheels her barrow through streets broad and narrow, crying cockles and mussels, alive, alive, oh, alive, alive, oh, oh, alive, alive, oh, oh, crying cockles.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you. I hadn't heard that song since... What was his name? The fellow that
talks like this did it the other night on the network. I heard him.
What's his name?
Huh? Let's go down to the alley and see what's going on. I can't think of his name.
Well, let's get back to nature again. It's so lovely here. I just can't keep away from nature. There's some mighty good hunting out in southern Wyoming these days. The woods are just loaded with unitathers and condylarths. A condylarth is a kind of ungulate. Now, anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about might as well turn off the radio because I'm in a scientific mood today. The scientists out there have collected bones which indicate the prehistoric existence of a monster with six horns on his head. This monster, which the scientists have dubbed the unitather, is supposed to be something like a rhinoceros. They consulted me, of course, on the matter of this six-horned monster, and when I gave them my opinion, they stalked out of the laboratory and refused to talk with me further. And I don't know why. I simply told them that instead of one rhinoceros with six horns, it was barely possible, mind you, that they may be barking up the wrong tree. The Godfrey theory is simply this. There were six rhinoceroses with one horn each. I will give you all afternoon, folks. Did you hear that old Moran and Mac gag? One guy says to the other, what's the plural of rhinoceros? And the other guy says, who in the world would want two of these awful things? Well, that killed about a minute. I mean, it killed it dead, too. Jeanette Davis has a lovely thing to restore your faith in radio. An arrangement of Little White Lies.
The moon was all aglow, and heaven was in your eyes. The night that you told me those little white lies, the stars all seem to know that you didn't mean all those sighs. The night that you told me those little white lies, I try, but there's no forgetting when evening appears. I sigh, but there's no regretting in spite of my tears. The devil was in your heart, but heaven was in your eyes. The night that you told me those little white lies, the moon was all aglow, and heaven was in your eyes. The night that you told me those little white lies, stars all seem to know that you didn't mean all those sighs. The night that you told me those little white lies, I try, but there's no forgetting when evening appears. I try, but there's no regretting in spite of my tears. Who wouldn't believe those lips? Who ever could doubt those eyes? The night that you told me those little white lies.
By golly, Jeanette, that was wonderful. That's the kind of an arrangement I like to hear. That sounded like real old-time radio, where a singer sat down and sang intimately and delightfully with some very light, interesting accompaniment behind him. That sounded very, very nice. I congratulate the whole bunch of you. Remind me to sign your paycheck this week. In view of the coming 171st anniversary of the United States Marine Corps on November 10, which is Sunday, I wonder if... Oh, dear, dear, look, we're fresh out of time. I was going to ask the Mariners if they could sing the Marines hymn for us. Doggone it. The time is all shot. Oh, well, our congratulations to the Leathernecks. God bless them. We owe them so much, we'll never, never, never be able to thank them enough. Long live the Marine Corps. You all have a nice weekend, will you? I'm going canoeing myself this afternoon. You know what a canoe is. That's the Reader's Digest version of the Queen Elizabeth. Be the good Lord willing, we'll see you again Monday, bright and early at the same time. Until then, Arthur Godfrey says bye-bye, and CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.